Here we are again at Watchman School of Prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And we are now going into advanced intercession. And in this class, this is class number 12, advanced intercession 1. We just finished supplications and sounds of prayer. Now we're in advanced intercession 1. And we are going to be talking tonight about a very, very, I believe, wonderful subject, but also very controversial subject, the groanings, which is a sound. And the reason I love this subject so much is because I believe that this is a subject that is much overlooked, and it is a subject that can bring deliverance. Amen? Can bring deliverance. How many of you feel like you need deliverance? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
How many out there, you're watching me, and you know, those listening, you feel like you need deliverance? Well, sometimes, you know, deliverance comes in different forms, shapes, and ways. And this is a way that deliverance can come to us if we are open to yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. Now, as I said, this is a controversial subject. But what I want to do first is I want to give you a definition of the groanings. Now, I will give you a couple of different definitions here. Groan, which is the actual root meaning of it, groan. And these meanings come from Webster's Strong's, which is the biblical dictionary also. To make a deep, unusual, inarticulate, involuntary, often strangled sound. You may not be able to get all this right now, so you may have to listen and get the tape, but you can try. Typically abruptly begun and ended, having to do with pain, grief, tension, or desire. Can even have to do with annoyance or disapproval. I'll say it again, all right, because it's a little bit large definition. It's making a deep, inarticulate means it's not speaking in an English or a Dutch or whatever language you speak. A sound can sometimes sound strangled. It's a deep sound, okay? And you're doing it because of pain, grief, tension, desire, disapproval, annoyance, frustration is another thing. It also means to make a harsh sound. Can be heavy, rasping. It might also have to do with where you're bearing a heavy load. Spiritually, we're talking, not carrying like a mule. So you know, and I will talk a little more about the sounds. It also means to desire something intense enough to make one groan. I think this is something you really gotta, I'm going to say this again. To desire something intense enough to make one groan. How much do you want the Spirit of God in your life? Or how much do you want the junk that's in your life to get out? Amen? I know some of you have asked about deliverance. Well, really open your spirits up as you're listening tonight. And I believe by the Spirit of God, and I pray now that the Holy Spirit will begin to really, really impart to you a revelation on this. Amen? So that's pretty much the definition of that. Now, basically, why is it a controversial subject? Because most of the body of Messiah doesn't want to deal with dirty laundry. Hallelujah. What do I mean by dirty laundry? Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, if we're mothers, we change diapers, you know, and they're not always clean. So that means we have to get our hands dirty. And when we groan or cry out, deliverance might come and it might not be so pretty. And most of the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, doesn't want to get involved in this because it takes sweat, hard work, and you have to help people. Amen? So basically, if we all look at ourselves, we all are desperate human beings. You watching are a desperate human being. If you don't think so, then check it out, all right? I mean, we're all desperate in some area. There is some area in us that something's not right. And we are desperate to be whole in God. And so this is a sound that goes very deep in the levels of prayer. And you're going to see it being used many times in the Bible tonight. As long as we think that we're okay, God isn't going to do too much in our life. Amen? If we always think, well, I'm fine, you know, nothing's wrong. Well, then you're going to stay the way you are. And that's all right. You can go to heaven that way. But you know what? I want more now. Amen? And so therefore, God has made a way for us to get the more. Now let's look at the book of Acts chapter 7 as we start on our journey here about the groanings. And of course, I can't teach you everything on it because it would take me hours, but I'm going to teach you a good amount. In Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen making his defense, and he is talking about the account of the Israelites, all right? In verse 33 and 34, he says, he's talking, making a defense to people about so they wouldn't kill him, and he's going back and talking about what happened to the Israelites. And he says, "Then said the Lord to him," talking to Moses, "Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I have heard their groaning." There's the word groaning. If I was you, I would make marks in my Bible about it. "And am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you unto Egypt." All right? Now, this account that we're looking at right here is the same account that we're going to study in just a minute in the book of Exodus. All right? It's no difference. It's the same account that we're going to read. It is the intercessory groanings of the Holy Spirit. Every account that is talked about in the Bible on groanings has to do with people that are in desperate situations. You'll see every account, if you look at it, has to do with something desperate that's going on. Now, you yourself personally will not give to the groanings unless your situation is desperate to you. It may not be desperate enough to you. I don't know. Or you might be interceding for somebody else who has a desperate situation, and you may cry out for them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Now, we all know the story of the children of Israel, and we all know that they were in bondage over 400 years, and they didn't cry out to God for deliverance until 400 years. Why is that? They were comfortable. Maybe you're comfortable, but you don't even know there's something wrong. And what happens is you have to get to the point where you begin to realize, I got a bondage here. There's something not quite right, you know? Finally, after all these years, they realized they had bondage. They had committed idolatry. They didn't obey God. They didn't follow Him. Self-will came in. And what happens now is they're in terrible, terrible bondage. Now, in the natural, if we talk about this sound, the groanings, it almost sounds stupid. I'm going to groan? Why would I groan, you know? But in heaven, God knows the interpretation of this sound. He recognizes the cry of a desperate heart, and it causes God to move. Now, this is something you've got to get a hold of. God recognizes this sound. People on the earth may think it's dumb and stupid. If you've ever gone into hospitals where people are really sick, did you ever hear them groan? I have. Those are groanings. And you may not have realized what's going on. These people are desperate. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage." Now, the word sighed in your Bible may mean groan, because that's what it means. And the children of Israel groaned by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. How many of you have a taskmaster? Maybe you have sickness in your body. Maybe you have depression. Maybe you have fear, some kind of bondage, all right? And God says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and so forth. Let's go to Exodus 6. Exodus 6, very famous passages here. For those of us that know the Passover or Pesach, this goes into the four I wills. And in chapter 6, verse 5, God is speaking. And I have also heard the groaning, there it is again, of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. God made a covenant. With who? With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That covenant still exists today, even though we have the Lord Yeshua. God hasn't done away with that. Amen? And then he says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will, second I will, rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. Those are the four I wills, which we know at Pesach we have the four cups. Amen? And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, we see that these people finally gave themselves to the Spirit of God and began to cry out, groaning to God out of desperation. And God remembers his agreement. When God makes an agreement with you, he doesn't forget it. And he promises to deliver. Amen? Let's look at Psalm 6. Let's look at David's desperation here. Psalm 6. Now, I'm not giving you every account. There's many accounts. Psalm 6, and in verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. Here's David. He's saying it. I'm weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Now we have weeping. We're going to study on that in another class. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Now, you must realize, again, this is all based on faith. Faith and the blood of Yeshua. Nothing happens without faith. Amen? Amen. We don't just make a sound just because we want to make a sound. We make the sounds based on what the sound is saying it's going to do on the promise of God and the finished work of the blood of Yeshua, which we've studied on already. We know that in Hebrews 12, 24, memorization verse, the blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Yeshua is speaking. So when we are groaning or whatever the sound is, it is based on the blood, which actually is a better covenant even than the covenant that they had then of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Amen? So David was desperate. He groaned, he wept, he supplicated. Now you can't put your faith on the groanings or on the weepings or on the crying. I keep saying this over and over. Why? Because it's not the sound that you make that's going to get God's attention. Without what? groaning, it's impossible to please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So again, we go back to the faith in the finished work of the cross. And what does this sound do? Because we're going to see how Yeshua used it himself. And as we saw in last session, how Yeshua in Hebrews 5:7 used prayers, many types of prayers, to cry out to God. Why? Because he knew what they meant. Remember that Yeshua was a very good Jewish young man who knew the Torah, who didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Ephesians, Colossians, etc. He only had the Torah, the Tanakh, the Old Testament. He knew Exodus. He knew Psalms. He knew the Scriptures. He knew the groanings. He knew the weepings. He knew what they meant. So he knew that God would hear him. The same way we have to know what these sounds say that they will do and what they will produce. Amen? Now, of course, we go back to the Holy Spirit giving us the utterance. What does that mean? Well, you are led by and controlled by, I hope, the Holy Spirit. You acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't go around groaning day and night, okay? But I can tell you there are times that I remember, and I can tell you, my husband can tell you the same thing, that we had to do quite a bit of groaning because we were in desperate situations when we traveled overseas. There were incidents and things that happened to us that we didn't know how to pray anymore. And I couldn't pray real loud. So I took my pillow wherever I was staying and I went in there and I began to cry out to God. Because I knew the Scriptures and what they meant, what I'm about to teach you tonight. My faith was in the promise of God. And I knew that I was desperate and I needed God to move now. Tomorrow, I needed an answer soon, you know? So it depends how desperate we get. Look at Psalm 102. Thank you, Lord, for all the tools that you have given us. Psalm 102. We'll look at verse 17 through 20. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. You are a generation to come that are watching, that are listening, that are here. Are we not generation to come? This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Now the death may not be death to an illness, it may be death spiritually, it may be death of some bondage. Now that word groaning here actually goes into a sound that's even, it's called a shriek, to be even louder if you study the Hebrew word out there. These types of sounds God hears, he says. And he's there to loose the prisoner. When we begin to pray in this manner, we have to get our whole soul, our body, our will, our emotions, everything involved. Because if we are praying this, let's say we may be praying for somebody in another nation. Or we may be praying for a loved one who may be dying or sick. And we begin to cry out for them. You can't do that if your whole heart is not in it. It's impossible. That means, again, you have to yield your spirit to the Spirit of God. Now, many times, the groanings has to do with frustration. I'm sure nobody's been frustrated. You that are watching, you've never been frustrated. Amen? Probably you have been. All right? I have been. Amen? Frustrated. Or sorrow. Upset. When you get backed into a corner. When you get backed into a corner far enough, finally, eventually, you might get desperate. But sometimes it takes a long time to get to a level of desperation in prayer. You know, even when you start praying, you just start warming up, you come to an intercession, a time of prayer, you know, you come to a place of intercession, you get together in a group. And as you just begin to warm up, you might be praying half hour, an hour, and the Spirit of God is just beginning to move, and we start looking at our watch. Or our body starts telling us something, because we haven't yielded our spirits to the Spirit of God, so that we can intercess. Amen? John 11. Let's look at John 11. We're going to look at a very, very interesting story, and I believe a revelation is going to come to you right now about Yeshua. A very famous story about Lazarus being raised from the dead. But you may never have heard it this way. John 11, starting in verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus, Yeshua, heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, Yeshua stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's stop there. How many of you, if you got a phone call from a loved one, and they were dying or they were dead, would just stay where you are 2 more days? That's it. I don't think so. Why did Yeshua do that? And what was he doing during the 2 days that he was there? Eating pizza? I don't think so. Popcorn? Watching videos? I don't think so. All right, let's see what happens here. Verse 30. Let's go down to verse 30. He is now coming. The 2 days have passed. He comes. Now, Yeshua was not yet come to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes into the grave to weep there. Now, right here, I just want to point something out to you. We're not studying on weepings today. It'll be next week. This weeping right here is soulish, natural weeping, not from the Spirit of God. And I'll talk more about this in the next sessions. It was a grieving. And I'll tell you, the spirit of grief brings nothing more than death. Because when someone, you know, death is not natural. God did not make us to die. And why is it that when someone dies, you feel so grieved? Well, if you give to that spirit of grief, it will release upon you a spirit of death spiritually. And will affect your body and everything else. That's why you must guard yourself from that. Yeshua never told us to grieve. I mean, there's a time that we feel bad, but then we've got to guard our spirits, because out of our spirits come the issue of life. And you, if you're watching, I pray now that if a spirit of grief has touched you, that deliverance will come to you tonight, and you will come out of that spirit of grief and come into life again. So now it says in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Now let me back up one more place so that you can see something. In verse 20, just give you a little Hebraic accent here for a minute, Hebrew roots. It says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Yeshua was coming, Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Well, you might have thought, well, why is Mary sitting there? What's the matter with her? Well, actually, Mary was doing what every Jew would do at that time, and she was sitting Shiva, so was Martha. And the word Shiva means seven, and she was mourning. And in the Jewish tradition, when someone dies, you sit on boxes or on the floor, this type of thing, in your house for 7 days, and people come and they come and comfort you. You sit Shiva, all right? And Mary was doing that. And Martha realized, man, he is here, the Messiah, and I'm not sitting Shiva because life is here and I don't have to be doing this dead thing, you know? Okay? So, now we get to verse 33. When Jesus, Yeshua, therefore saw Mary weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now you see Yeshua groaning, okay? Let's go on. And said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Now, let me stop here a minute and let me go over this groaning and this weeping that Yeshua did, which is totally different here. Now, the groaning was, why did he groan? Well, he actually was a groan of anger inside, frustration. It actually means sighing with a chagrin, indignation. He was upset because there was no faith. Ugh! And he didn't want to lose his cool and let them all have it and come out of the spirit. Sometimes we gotta watch ourselves. We're about ready to blow off the handle, and what we need to do is go grab a pillow and groan. See, remember what we said, Yeshua, Hebrews 5:7. He never got separated from the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in the last class. Why? Because he cried out to God with strong prayer, supplication, all kinds of prayer, so that his spirit would stay correct. It would stay on target. How I wish we all could do that. Hallelujah, Lord, help me. I'm coming in there. But this is something we have to learn. We have to learn to mortify the deeds of the flesh. So when the desire to be angry comes, maybe we need to groan. I don't know. We have to hear from the Spirit of God. We want to do something so that we don't come out of the will of God. And this is what Yeshua did, because he was about to do some mighty work here. Amen? And if he had given to his flesh and said, "Oh, you dumb idiots, why don't you have faith? Blah, blah." Do you think he's going to be able to do what's about to happen? I don't think so. I don't think the anointing would have abode and stayed with him. And we want to know many times, why is our anointing not there to take care and do certain things? Well, what have you given yourself to yesterday or an hour ago or 2 days ago? Uh-oh. Well, just repent. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I missed it." Plead the blood and get your spirit back up. Start praying in tongues. Start praising God. It's called grow up. Amen? Do what we got to do. Now, Yeshua, he never had to do those things, although he was tempted just like we are. Amen? But he had all these things that he was able to do in the spirit realm, which God has given us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, when he says he wept in verse 35, by the way, that is the shortest verse of the entire Bible, if you don't know that. This weeping was by the Spirit. And we will learn about this weeping in the next classes. This was by the Spirit. This was not out of a pity party, you know, mourning for somebody. This was a spiritual weeping, all right? Now let's look at verse 37. Now, verse 36, let's look at that first. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Now, the Jews, or the Jewish people that were there, that were mourning, were totally blinded. They were completely blinded that Yeshua was not weeping about grieving about Lazarus, because he knew he was going to come out of the tomb. But they didn't know that, all right? Verse 37, some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning, he groaned again groaning in himself, comes to the grave. Why did he groan again? Because he just heard people speak negative. How many of you have been around people that speak negative and you're ready to blow up? Well, what did Jesus do? And he groaned in himself. Just like that. He might have been even quieter. Because he was annoyed, frustrated at the ignorance, okay? And he was coming against the word that was spoken of death. He was breaking it in the spirit by his groan. Because what did we read? That the groanings do. They bring deliverance. So he was breaking the power of those words. He didn't say, I bind you in Jesus' name, because he was Jesus. You can do that. You know, somebody says something negative to you, and I don't know about you, but I do it. I bind that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua. I bind that. They look at me like, huh? What? What is she talking about? Who cares? You get a bad report, I bind that. I don't care if they understand or not. I mean, listen, you're either going to use the tools that you got or you're not going to use them. Don't receive the negative reports. You have to use those things. And if you don't say it in front of the person, you walk away and say, I bind that. You may not be able to say it in front of them. That's what he did, all right? With the groaning, okay? Now, verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, says unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Now here's an attack of the enemy coming at Yeshua. How many times have you had faith for something, and right there, all of a sudden, you're about to do something, and somebody says to you, you'll never be able to do that. You'll never make it. Well, number one, run from those people, okay? Get away. And number two, bind it up, start speaking something positive. So he was getting attacked here by somebody else that was almost like family, Martha, you know, with the negative words. You'll never, you know, what are you opening up for? I mean, he's dead. He stinks, you know. Well, what did he do? Did he listen to her? No, this is what he says, verse 40. Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus, Yeshua, lifted up his eyes and said, now he is really key, really take a hold here. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. Now let's wait here a minute. Go back to verse 41. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Heard him what? What did the Father hear him? Groan? Yeah. Let's go back. Verse 6. And when he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, Yeshua abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. What did he do for the 2 days? Let's keep our finger there and let's go to Hebrews 5:7. What did Yeshua do for the 2 days where he was? Hebrews 5:7. When in the days of his flesh he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto God that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared a separation. What was he doing for the 2 days? Crying out, screaming, shrieking, outcry, forceful, boisterous. He was weeping, he was wailing for 2 days. And when the 2 days was over, he had the victory. He could have stood there 4 days, 6 days. He prayed it through. How many of you are praying it through? He prayed through the victory, and now he said, okay, guys, now we're ready to go. I'm ready to raise this guy from the dead because God has heard me. Now, why did God hear him. He just said, Father, I thank you, you have heard me. Okay, he heard him for the 2 days, Hebrews 5, 7 type of prayer. What was it based on? Exodus. What does Yeshua know? Old Testament only. Amen? What does he know? Well, let's go back and look. Exodus 6. We can look at 2 or 3, but let's just look at one of them. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 5 and 6, and I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel and the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And I will bring you out from the burdens. I will rid you of the bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will take you to myself. He remembered Exodus 6. He remembered Exodus 2, verse 23. And God heard the groanings and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a good Hebrew Jewish man who knew the scriptures, and he knew what they meant. And when he cried Hebrews 5, 7 type of prayers, he knew that they were taking hold of Exodus's promises, the promises of God. How did he know that? Well, he also wore a tallit, which I've explained to you in the other sessions. And on the tallit, it had the tzitzis, the fringes, and the fringes in Numbers 15 tell you they are there to look at, to remember the promises of God. Hallelujah. So now he says, Father, I thank you. You have heard me, and I know you always hear me. And what happens in verse 43? And when thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to him, to them, loose him and let him go. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. By strong crying, prayer, and groanings, and by the remembrance of the covenants that God had promised. It hasn't changed. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. The groanings have to do with desperation. And when we do it, no matter what the instance is for, no matter who it's for or for ourselves, deliverance will come. Deliverance will come. Why? Because God said, I've heard your prayers. I understand your cries. I remember my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've come down to deliver you for my mercy's sake. Amen?
Amen.
It's not because of anything you or I have done, because we couldn't do it. It's because of God's promises. So I ask you that's watching, and those are here, and those are on the audio, are you that desperate today about certain things in your life? Here's an example. Maybe you don't have something really serious, and you come to congregation, synagogue, to church, and you start praising God in praise and worship. And you start to praise God, but all you can think about is what you're going to do after the service, or something you just left in the car, or what you have to cook that night. Where's your mind when you're praising God? This is a small example. But if it's not there, then I'll tell you, there's something going on. There's a bondage. It's demonic. It's not coming from the Spirit of God. It's coming from your flesh, which is being influenced by the outside world. Amen? Everything that's in your mind got there by association. And when you get born again, it doesn't just fly away. You know, let's go to Never Never Land. It doesn't just leave. Just because you love God, it doesn't mean it's going to go away either. It all depends on what you've given yourself to in your lifetime. If in your lifetime you've given yourself to rebellion, you've given yourself to different things that are not right, then you have made some strongholds in your life and you have to get rid of them. If you've given yourself to anger, if you've given yourself to depression, if you've given yourself to self-pity, you have chosen to do that. And the older you get, the more they're there. Maybe your family had it, passed down, generations. Most people have it as a curse. It's passed down. Their forefathers were like that. Now, we can't blame everything on the forefathers because you have a will. You can change. Amen? But you have to choose to do that. You have to choose to be desperate. You have to choose to drive whatever it is out. You have to choose to drive it out. Not God, not Yeshua, not the Holy Spirit. You have to drive it out with the help of the Holy Spirit that we're going to see in just here in a moment. That's a choice. And that's a labor. Yeshua had to choose. He could have chosen when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead. He could have said, listen, you guys are a bunch of idiots, okay? You guys don't even know what you're talking about. But he chose not to do that. He chose to stay in the Spirit. So whatever we've given ourselves to in our lifetime, that is what's going to manifest. And therefore, we need the groanings. And this stuff will stay there till the day we die. We can go home to be with the Lord with all the junk. Until we take a hold of the Spirit of God and get fed up and grow up. I go back to growing up. We have to get fed up with the way we're acting so much that we get desperate enough to get deliverance ourselves. In order for us to be watchmen and pray for someone else, we have to come to a level in ourselves. Amen? Now, it took the Israelites 400 years. We don't have 400 years. I don't think we're going to be able to live 400 years. Maybe when the Lord comes back, we can live long, you know, then. But right now, we don't have that. So we have to choose. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8 and in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Now, the word groans here means to march as in a military rank, to keep step as in an army. Many times we can even be groaning together for something, almost like a unit. And it says here that the creation, man-made creation, man, is groaning. And I tell you, we are groaning. You may not have been groaning, but you're groaning. There's stuff in there that you would like to change. Or we would like to change out here in Babylon, making the watch strong. Amen? Amen. Now look at 8:26. And I'm going to really break this scripture down now intensely. And again, Romans 8:26 is a memory verse. I wrote this before, I believe, but I'm going to write it again. And I'm also going to write, well, I'll see if I need to write this other part section that I'm doing in the Greek here. Okay. Now, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let me break this down very intensely, okay? I'm going to really break this scripture down. First of all, let me say here, start with the word infirmity, okay? I'm going to come back to the word helps. But the word infirmity is a very interesting word. If you study it out in the original Greek, and I'm going to give you the actual different meanings of it. It means feebleness of body or mind. Feebleness of body or mind. A weakness, which could be in the form of a disease, a sickness, a weakness, something you don't have enough strength for something. It could be in your mind. Now I did a word study further on it, other than just even in the original Greek. I went into Webster's and I wanted to look up the word feebleness, what it means. And I have a very, very old original Webster's. It's really powerful, where they trace the words back to the original old English meanings. And feebleness here, again, it means body or mind, but it's relating to body or mind. It means lacking in strength, which is similar to what we said, indicating weakness, deficient in qualities or resources that indicate vigor, authority, force, or efficiency. Being inadequate or inferior. I mean, in a wholeness, it's weakness. Any kind of weakness, any kind of sickness, anything like that at all. Whether it's in your body or your mind. Now, it also went on to talk about a sound. Infirmity. It had a sound, too, in Webster's. And it said, weeping or bleating, B-L-E-A-T. Now, I'm particularly going to talk about this because when we groan, many times we make this kind of a sound and we don't even know it. B-L-E-A-T. This is an old English sound. It's a roaring sound and it utters the natural cry of like a sheep or a goat. It's like a very guttural sound. And it's a sound resembling this kind of a cry or a complaint or a protest. But it sounds like that. So I wanted to bring that out. Many times when I have groaned and I've prayed for people, I make this kind of guttural sound. And I didn't, years ago when I began to study it, I wondered, well, why, how could this be? What is it coming from? And as I began to do the root study of it, it comes from this. Amen? Okay, so we see what the word infirmity means, the feebleness, the weakness of our body or mind. Now, there are many ways that we can have weaknesses. Here's just five. There's probably more. One is a terminal illness. Can't be fixed. Two could be an attack on your muscle support system. Something is actually weak within your body. Three is when you are tormented in your mind. Demons could be tormenting you in your mind. Some kind of mind torment. Four is where a sickness has a continuous mild pain. Migraine headaches, or there's a pain that's always there. It never goes away. Back pain. Some kind of a pain. It's in the form of a sickness. And five is when someone's in a coma. That's another form of weakness. And there are others. These are just some of them. Any kind of weakness that you might have or someone else may have. Now, I'm going to break down this last word, which I believe is very important, which is the word helps, and then we'll put it all together. It says the Holy Spirit helps our weakness, okay? And there are three Greek words here. The word helps has three parts, or it's helpeth if you have the King James. Three parts. Soon, S-U-O-N. Let me see if I can copy this down. I'm going to write this down for you. This is the word helpeth, and it's three parts. S-U, this is the Greek spelling of it. Soon, anti-lambano. Now, the word soon is actually the Holy Spirit's position. I'm going to explain this in a minute. This is the Holy Spirit's attitude. And this word, lambano, is the Holy Spirit's desire. Hope you can read this. I'm hard to write with one hand holding a book in the other. But I think we can get it. Now, let's talk about it. The Holy Spirit takes hold with your spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit lives in you. And is coming against this weakness, this infirmity. And the first part of the Holy Spirit is His position, is His working with us. He is working with us. That's His position. So next to position, it would be working with me or working with us. The second part of the Holy Spirit is His attitude. What is His attitude? Well, it may be violent because He has a righteous anger of God because you are missing something. In other words, the devil is stealing something from you. There's something not right. And the Holy Spirit does not like that. And He gets violent. He gets angry at that. That's His attitude at the infirmity. Now, it doesn't mean angry like a natural anger, but His attitude is, I'm going to get this thing with you. Okay? He says, we're going to do it together. Amen? And then the third area, lambano, is the Holy Spirit's desire in what? Our lives. His desire is to reach out to us to make us whole. Okay? I know this is very deep, but we are getting into heavy intercession, and we must understand when we begin to do these things, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He lives in us. If you are born again and know the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, inside of me. And He takes hold with our spirit to help our weaknesses. And how does He do that? He makes intercession, praying for us with groanings. The word groanings is agonizing longings, gushings of the heart. It is a sound which we already just studied. The sound. Amen? And we studied what it's based on. We went through all these different things. Now, as we close here, I want to read you this last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, 1 through 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, here's the word groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, the tabernacle is your body, okay? We groan, being burdened, not for that what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, to make it very simple, what do these scriptures mean? We are groaning to get deeper into God so that all the junk that's in us comes out, so that we aren't found naked. In other words, we're not found in purity and without the Spirit of God. That's why we're groaning. So the groaning swallows up death. What is death? Well, death is separation from the Spirit of God. It's not just talking about dying. It's being separated. So when we start getting angry, when we start getting frustrated, when we get annoyed, when we get depressed, when we have a pity party, we need to yield to the Spirit of God and to the groanings so that God can use us in a mighty way. Now, I read this, and I didn't get it on the tape in the last class, but I want to read it one more time. It's from Reese Howe's Intercessor, the book Reese Howe's Intercessor. And this is a time when Reese Howe's and the people that he trained up in his Bible college were praying for Jewish people, which we do much here, and I hope you guys out there that are watching and listening do also. All right? And he began to feel a burden to begin to pray for the Jewish people. This is before the state of Israel was even existing. And he began to go into intercession for years. And he says, the Holy Spirit is longing to help the Jewish people through someone. I want God to touch me, Reese Howe said, deeper still with the feelings of what these people are suffering. This is when they were being, you know, led into the concentration camps and all this kind of thing. And then he says, the Holy Spirit suffers like that for those that are on other continents. And unless the Holy Spirit in you makes the suffering your own, you can't intercede for others. You will never touch the throne unless you send up that real cry. Words don't count at all. So many times when we are praying for others, and in this day and hour with what's going on in Israel, we have to intercede with sounds. And we're going to learn about the other sounds, but tonight we learned about the groanings. And I pray that those of you that are watching and those of you that are listening, those of you that are here, that God has imparted the sound of the groanings to you. And you that are there at home, watching or listening in a school, yield to that, begin to birth that in, and I believe God's going to touch you.